open the meeting for Wednesday, August 30th, and call a meeting to order. We have a quorum. Bill's off at, can we explain where he is?
He's training in the sequential
intercept mapping is part of the Stepping Up initiative that the county's undertaking to look at mental health services and jail populations integrated with all the physical and mental health services we provide in the county.
And in a nutshell, it's an effort to keep the mentally ill out of the correction system.
Okay. Sounds like a good cause to miss the meeting and hope he's successful. We have no recognitions or proclamations. We move down to consent calendar. Consent calendar items of routine nature. Is there anything you'd like to highlight?
I move for approval of the consent calendar.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. We move down to public hearings. We have none. Decision in action.
Commissioners, we have before you an ordinance number 497, concerning land use planning. And first thing I need to note for the record, is there any request that the ordinance be read in full?
No.
Hearing none, then I will read the ordinance by title only. Amending the Lincoln County Comprehensive Plan, granting an exception under statewide planning goal number 2, land use planning, committed lands exception, to statewide planning goal number 16, estuary and resources, to allow a cut and fill within the Siletz Bay Management Unit 5 of the Lincoln County Estuary Management Plan for a boat ramp extension project. This project is located on Millport Slough Lane off of U.S. Highway 101 within the Siletz Bay National Wildlife Refuge. It's case file number 3-TA-17, and we're going to be declaring an emergency. So, Commissioners, this particular item has come before you on at least one occasion. We held a public hearing on this particular matter. The Planning Commission also held a public hearing on the matter. And this is the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service extending an access to the Siletz Bay to provide a basically a boat ramp extension for car top kind of boats or other boats that are usually non-motorized kinds of boats. So you've already held a hearing on this, unanimous recommendation of the Planning Commission and unanimous decision of the board to move it forward.
It's a good cause. So
yeah, I actually went out and looked at the property, and it's literally the old highways have been turned into a parking lot, and there's a place where there's a little cut, but it's about 4 feet from the top of the soil or the land to the water level at the time I was here. I don't know what
you were close to high water.
Was I? Okay. Anyhow, there's clearly a need, and obviously you're not going to be able to get big rigs in there, so I'll move for approval of the ordinance amending the Lincoln County Comprehensive Plan, granting an exception under statewide planning goal 2, land use planning, committed lands exception to statewide planning goal 16, estuarine resources, to allow a cut and fill within the Siletz Bay Management Unit 5 of the Lincoln County Estuary Management Plan for a boat ramp extension project. This project is located on Millport Slough Lane off U.S. Highway 101 within the Siletz Bay National Wildlife Refuge. Case file 03-TA-17 and declaring an emergency.
I'll second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Discussion and information authorizing final agreement and execution acceptance of documents related to real estate sales agreement and earnest money between Lincoln County, the purchaser, and Columbia Trust Company, the trust company for the Martinson's family, GST exempt trusts.
Commissioners, for some time we've been looking for additional parking for our newly renovated extension building on Bay Boulevard. It was going out Yucuna Bay, up above the Embarcadero general area up there. And we've had discussions with a number of property owners in that area to see what we can do to make an arrangement for some additional parking. We meet the legal City of Newport parking requirements when we remodeled that particular building. But as you well know, the building has some actually wonderful meeting space that's designed into it. And for some of the larger meetings, especially during working hours, parking can be troublesome, to say the least. And it's really kind of dampened the ability to hold some larger meetings and conferences during working hours because we don't have an adequate amount of available parking. We've been looking at this particular property, which is actually located across the street for some time, and talking to the managers of the property. It's actually Columbia Bank that's held in trust. And they were not actually willing to, they were willing to talk to us about a possibility of a long-term lease. I wasn't really happy with doing a long-term lease. I thought we needed to get the property and kind of resolve this issue fully. And so we kind of went back and forth on discussions on it. But very recently they decided they wanted to sell the property. So we've gone in and I've discussed this with you in executive session, and we went in and made an offer on the property, which has been accepted, but it's of course contingent on you actually taking formal action to authorize the purchase of the property. But we've worked out the details of what would occur there, and we're in our due diligence period right now. We need to check and verify the status of the property. We're doing a phase one environmental assessment of the property. Working with the city of Newport to confirm how many parking spaces we could locate in that particular area, what the requirements might be, and those other things are part of a normal due diligence in a property purchase. But we needed to present this to you formally and then come back to you in a couple of weeks to have you finalize us proceeding with that if all contingencies and conditions can be met.
And I guess one of the contingencies would be that there's the property allows for adequate parking?
Yes. Okay. And we had verified that because we'd actually looked into the parking situation when we talked about leasing it. The thing about that is actually better about what we do here is there is an older gear shed on the property, actually in fairly bad shape. And that particular gear shed, when we were talking about leasing, would have to have remained, and we had to kind of design parking around the gear shed. And the question of whether we could use the front drive access where the gear shed was as part of the parking or not was always an issue in there. So we think that if we get control of the entire property, we can move forward with a better and more efficient plan for parking there that will actually develop additional parking spots.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah. I think the property is valuable. It's valuable into the future. We have one building, potentially more buildings, that may be county involvement in the future. It's just a good plan to get this now at this time, because the longer we wait, the more expensive it gets. And it's I don't care where we build a government building. We need to look at parking as one of the main issues if you're going to have a growing, and which I think the county will grow, and consequently we will grow. So,
and it will really allow us to fully utilize that extension building. Yeah. And it's all its capabilities.
Like I say, I wouldn't be a bit surprised that sometime in the future there'll be other buildings that we get involved with down there in that area.
So we'll bring this back to you. If there's a consensus to move forward, we'll bring this back to you on, I think we said, Dan, the 13th, is that right? I'm not sure if I got my dates right.
13th.
Okay. To take formal action.
That would be 2 weeks.
Yep, 2 weeks from today.
Very good.
Okay, we move down to reports. Elected officials, department directors. We have a report by Samaritan Health. So, are you ready?
I am.
Come on down.
Well, thank you for having me have a little of your time to present. And I have a presentation for both hospitals. So what you'll see is sort of the date as of today for where our projects are. And I'll recap a little bit of history, talk a little bit of budget so you're fully informed and understand the differences between the hospitals as well, and outline some timelines for you so you'll know about when we'll be finished with all of these projects.
So, Leslie, for the record, would you introduce yourself?
I would love to. I'm Leslie Ogden. I am the CEO of Samaritan North Lincoln Hospital and Samaritan Pacific Communities Hospital. So, thank you. So, just to recap, we do have guiding principles and vision statements for both of our projects. They were made independently as when the projects first started, they were completely isolated, meaning there was not a joint leadership as there is right now with my oversight of both projects. So the thing that I find most interesting is that they're very close in what the meaning is. And the basic thing that we want to stress is whenever we go through decision making, the biggest thing that we bring up is the patient. We also bring up things like flexibility of future facilities, because that is huge and that is what we do not have right now. We want people to walk in and feel welcome, feel that these are their community hospitals. We want to utilize technology when it's right. We want to have scalable areas that are community-centered. We want a lot of things for these hospitals. And basically, we look at these statements and or phrases whenever we start making decisions, whenever we run into a conundrum. Partners. So let's talk first about the Newport project, since that is about 6 months ahead. Pacific Communities Health District, as you know, is the starting founder of this project, as if you were being the entity that is collecting the tax money from this. They're partnering with Samaritan Health, and then our builders and architects, Nina and Arca Builders. They're both architects and builders, but they also chose to partner with Girding Builders, being a more local builder for us. And you'll recognize some projects that Neenan has done, hopefully, with the Coquille Hospital and the Prineville Hospital most recently, but also that Girding has done, and they've been partners with us for a while with the Walport Clinic and some different other items like the MRI building and dialysis center.
Can I mention something?
Absolutely.
I had a chance to go down and visit the Walport Clinic with a patient.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed. That is a nice facility.
Isn't it? I, too, was, I had heard about it for so many years and had just never ventured there myself until about a year ago. And it's not what you think is going to be at the end of that road, is it? It's impressive, and we have a little bit of room to grow there as well. So we'll be growing some walk-in services, and it's really, I think, a lifesaver for that community to have that level, that degree of healthcare there. Whereas they don't have a hospital in the south end of the county. They have X-ray services. They have lab services. They have a lot of dynamic, growing healthcare services, and I think, from what I hear, they appreciate it very, very much.
The thing that I was impressed was that other doctors in the valley were willing to drive over here and have appointments because the facility was there. I feel because there was doctors that would normally not go to it.
I don't normally interject, but just that reminded me that in our joint meeting with the city of Walport, we talked about the clinic a little bit for access from our transit services. So as you're doing your planning for anything in there, can maybe even make sure to consult with our transit folks, because I think there was a little concern about doing a turnaround in the clinic. Was that
Yes, a little bit awkward there.
Yeah, it's a little bit awkward to get one of the buses in there.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
I think they had
some,
they wanted to have some discussions about maybe things they can do to make sure the transit can.
Absolutely, because that's a really important point, is how people get to us.
Great.
Yeah, and the only other frustrating thing I've run up against is some ODOT rulings about signage. About they it's so baffling to me that we can have a sign for the golf course out on Highway 101. We can have a sign, of course, pointing to the cannabis store across the way, but we can't have any sort of sign pointing to health care this way.
Well, I know one commissioner who seems to have a lot of pull with ODOT getting things. If you happen to mention it to
That is why I mention it here. It is something we've been investigating, is trying to figure out how to get better signage as well, because it's important that people know where we are for their health care.
Well, if somebody would maybe email me some of the specifics, I'd be happy to talk to my contact, the project manager for the area,
Okay.
Brindle. And it's already been mentioned, but Cinda Bruce would be the person in the, that's the director of the transit district, mm-hmm. and could work with the, I guess I'd say, improved access to the clinic for transit services.
Perfect, perfect. I know that name.
Great, well, that's okay. Good. Yeah, and I'll be happy to help.
Thank you so much. Looking at the project up north in Lincoln City, this is a partnership that has come to fruition because we did not feel that the taxpayers could bear another burden of bond issuance there. We did not feel that it would be successful. So the Health District and Samaritan paired together. If you'll recall, the Health District transferred their assets to Samaritan in exchange for a contractual obligation to build a hospital. And this is the fruition of that. So it is an endeavor by Samaritan, although we're keeping the Health District very well informed. They are still a very important partner because they really allowed this to happen to us to move forward in this way. But we have partnered with Hamel Green and Abrahamson HDA, which is a national architectural firm, and we're working out of their San Jose location. And then Skanska, of course, as you know, is an international construction firm. Both have arms for hospitals, and both have built multiple critical access hospitals. And so that was very important to us that that these folks, despite their largesse, are very knowledgeable about building very isolated rural hospitals as well. So those are the partners. And again, there were two separate projects. People ask me all the time, if you had it to do all over again, would you have done it different? Well, probably, but you know, we get to work with all these great people, and we get to hopefully bring their best ideas from each to fruition.
I think that's a good point.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to go over the timeline for Newport, we started site prep back in November of 2015. We went through concept design, schematic design, putting all of our ideas on paper, design development down to the, you know, where each outlet is in each room, and we finished in April 2017 with that. Now we are in phase one. That is new building development, and that will last until the end of next year. And that is the three-story building, and I'll show you how this all lays out in more detail. But that is a new three-story building that will attach to the old 1988 building, which will start renovation of largely in 2019. And then we'll demolish all the remaining portions of the 1950s and 1970s hospital, and then that all becomes parking in the end. Our timeline with North Lincoln, we started in September of 2016. We are currently in schematic design, that putting all of those ideas on paper. We're currently going through things like RFPs and site surveys and tree surveys. And we'll be complete with design development by the end of this year, so construction can start in 2018. You'll hopefully have received an invitation for that as well. Hopefully you were able to be at the groundbreaking for PCH, but now it's time for groundbreaking for NLH, and that will be September 12th at 3:30. And construction will be through 2018 and into 2019. So you can see they're on very parallel time frames, which is actually becoming a bit problematic, and the reason why is exactly what we predicted, was we have a finite amount of labor to do some of these jobs, and there's some very important reasons not to go outside our local area if we can help it. Number one, we all promised that we would try to use local tradespeople as much as possible, and we want to stick to that. It is good for our economies. But number two, it is more expensive, frankly, to bring in people from the outside. And so what we are running into is some engagement in Newport that is blocking some engagement in Lincoln City because of our time frames, and we're just massaging that. We're working with both projects. It is helpful to have me be able to see both projects and work it together. And I'm probably doing some unconventional things, like having two sets of architects who would never have talked to each other actually talk to each other, or two sets of builders, you know, work out how are you going to use tradespeople. And these are not things that normally happen between projects like this where they're run by two different entities, but we are making it happen. And if we need to move timelines around, we have a lot more flexibility in Lincoln City, and we're using that flexibility to make sure that we get local tradespeople and we're doing things that are best for our areas. So that is a little bit, you may have heard that we're starting construction right at the start of January for Lincoln City, and what we'll probably be doing, we'll do some groundwork, but the bulk of our construction will start a little bit later because we're trying to time. You finish up on the Newport project, X labor, now you go directly to the Lincoln City project, and trying to time out how those things work. Budget-wise, if we go to Newport, you guys are very well aware of the $57 million for design construction from the taxpayers. And we also have a commitment from Samaritan for $10 million for furniture, fixtures, and equipment. That's all the technology, all the beds, all the everything that goes in it, and from light fixtures on down. And then we have another commitment from the Pacific Communities Hospital Foundation for $1 million to accentuate some of that, because we're frankly running up against some budgetary constraints, and we want to make sure that we can fulfill our promises to all of the taxpayers and that they're going to get what they need. The budget up north looks very different. That's a $35 million budget for design and construction. That is coming from a bond issuance from Samaritan themselves. That is already financed, that has been arranged. That was arranged right before the election. And there was a reason there. We got some very good interest rates. So that was secured last November. The $35 million is a magic number. We did a study, and that is what the business can support. So we were very motivated to make sure that we could be autonomous, that we would not be a drag on our system, and in fact not incapacitate the hospital of the future if we could not support ourselves. So the reason for that difference in money is largely what taxpayers would support versus what a business will support. And North Lincoln does have lower volumes. It is a smaller scale operation, so it really makes sense. And we're able to get what we need out of the $35 million. It's just a lot of strategy and thoughtfulness to do so. We do have a $7 million commitment for furniture, fixtures, and equipment, and that is coming from the North Lincoln Hospital Foundation. So that is community fundraising that we hope will provide that amount. And they have a good start on that, but we are hiring a new director, a foundation director there to head that effort.
So if we go back to the $35 million, mm-hmm. just to, I guess, make sure I understand. Basically, what you said is, of course, with the Newport situation, was a question whether the voters would support the
correct
tax rate that mm-hmm. was necessary to repay the bonds. Mm-hmm. What you're saying in Lincoln City is that you looked at the business, the revenues that would be generated by the new hospital, and then based on those anticipated revenues, said that you were able to support a bond issue or debt service of a certain amount.
Perfectly explained. You got it. That is it in a nutshell. And we even looked at, can we stretch that even by $1 or $2 million? Could we go up to $37 million? And all of our consultants are saying, you can do whatever you want to do, but danger-wise and looking at the future and the viability of a small rural hospital, you would be well served to stay within your $35 million. So I have put a hard cap on that. The one thing I will not do is jeopardize our community hospital by biting off too much. So it has meant that we've had to be very thoughtful about how things are being laid out. Some of the niceties you might want, you know, you get to what do you really need?
So I don't want to jump ahead of you, but can I ask?
Absolutely.
So could you break down these two hospitals and tell me what kind of new services you think you might be able to get? I mean, that's a large amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
What's the community get? A building is nice, but it's all about services.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what we're looking at, you know, we have the basics here, right? We have primary care, which we are consistently wanting to expand. We have specialty care, which again, we consistently want to expand. The problem that we have in both locations is we don't really have the space to do so. We are basically on top of each other in Lincoln City. We don't have room for one more primary care provider. And we have a scarce amount of specialty space. Here in Newport, we have a little bit of room for primary care providers, but the specialists are on top of each other. You know, every specialty location is just bursting at the seams. So what we anticipate with both hospitals is that this is going to provide us with some space to expand, some by planning flexibly, because we're planning for today, but we're also hopefully planning well for tomorrow. We just don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So our mantra is plan spaces that can be easily adapted, walls that can be moved, or things that can be changed in ways that they can't be changed today. And so, so yes, we are hoping to bring more cardiology services, more urology services, looking at nuclear medicine services here in Newport that has not been here for years and years and years, looking to bring a PET CT scanner that we've not had here for years. I mean, all of those things are going to be able to come to fruition by having facilities that will allow us to do all of those things. Enhance even services that we currently have, so because we can see more patients and we can allow more things to happen. Having an additional OR in Newport is going to help enormously help us grow our surgical services, things along those lines.
So one of the areas that the county struggles with, and I think you struggle with as well, is mental health services.
Correct.
And I guess my question is we supply through the county health services a lot of things. Is there a way we can work together to get better treatment in such areas as mental health, or by making sure we're not overlapping or making sure we have clearer guidelines?
Absolutely, absolutely. We can always do better, my goodness, yes. But let me just explain some specifics about how I see our role at Samaritan helping to change that. The first thing is we have a broken mental health system in our nation. So locally, we have to figure out how to work with a broken mental health system. And when I say local, it's basically the state of Oregon. So we have way too few acute inpatient beds and not nearly enough outpatient programs to service the amount of mental health folks that we have. And that's not going to change. That's our lot in life. I mean, unless someone starts coming up with a lot of money, this is what we have to work with. So what are we going to do to change that? So the first thing that we're doing at Samaritan is we've been sitting back waiting for the county to fix our outpatient mental health system. It can't happen unless you guys come up with a buttload more money, frankly. I mean, is actually how it comes down to it. So we can no longer sit back and just not be a party to the solution. So our solution, first off, is to obtain behavioral health, and these are psychologists, in each one of our patient-centered medical homes. And we're well on our way to doing that. We have a psychologist in the Walport Clinic. We have a psychologist in the Newport Clinic. We currently have an opening for a split position that will split themselves between Toledo and Depot Bay. And then we will have the consolidation, I'll show you, of all the services, all the clinic services will come together, and we'll actually have more psychology and behavioral health services in that location consolidated. So then we need to get to mental health, because behavioral health is very different if you count it strictly. What we find is behavioral health is more like, how do I quit smoking? How do I get compliant with my medications? What are the barriers to doing so? Talking about short-term anxiety and coping skills and things like that. Mental health is, I have schizophrenia or I have bipolar disorder and I need medications and perhaps long-term therapy to be able to deal with that. So that's the difference. What we find right now is, because of our mental health need, our behavioralists are doing about 70% mental health. We need to get mental health providers as well. Those that can prescribe medications, because we know we only have one or two prescribers at any time in this whole county. And we need to be part of that solution. So we have job openings. We're starting a pilot in North Lincoln, at where we're extending mental health services. The oversight will be out of Corvallis, because frankly I don't know how to oversee psychiatrists and psychiatric nurse practitioners and PAs. So I will have those people that are in that chain of command be able to have oversight of that program, but then we will be placing mental health practitioners in each of our clinics. Again, to bulk up the outpatient portion of it. Now, the inpatient portion of it, we need help with psychiatry in our ERs, frankly. The problem is, I brought psychiatrists here and to handle the acute population during the eclipse, and not one patient showed up. And we are deluged at other times, but of course, this was the one time I actually had psychiatrists here in both of our locations, and nada. We all know how that ended up. However, so it's not practical for me to have a psychiatrist just sitting there waiting, but I can have telepsychiatry services where we have a psychiatrist in Corvallis available when we have an acute patient that comes into the ER. And either they can help start treatment sooner, or maybe actually keep some of these patients out of the acute care system, which we know is strapped and is why, in fact, we have so many people just hanging out with us in the ER until a bed is available somewhere in the state, because we don't have those sorts of services available. So those are two strategies that we're implementing. This honestly will take years. Not so much the telepsychiatry part, because that's technology, and we just did a pilot study an actual implementation of telestroke services, and that went like gangbusters. So we now know how to do it. We can use the same equipment. We just make sure we have the right people answering the phone, answering the video, on the other end. So that will be implemented probably within the next 6 months. But the outpatient services, hiring people, making them part of our community, having them be permanent care providers for us, that will take years to get the number of providers I want to see across our county. But we're getting started, and we're doing it, and we're no longer, I've had people tell me, you can't get a psychiatrist to practice in Lincoln County. Watch me. It may take me 5 years. I will get a psychiatrist here sooner or later. We will do it step by step, and it's got to be, like you said, working together. And, our partners at the county, if we could take the burden of Samaritan patients off of them, at least that amount, right? Like, we handle our own mental, if patients come to us for their primary care, then we're able to handle also their behavioral health needs and their mental health needs. Imagine how much better the county could function if we took care of our own. And then we can put pressure on Adventists to do the same. gradually, I think things get better and better.
We service through our jail system, mm-hmm. a lot of things that should be handled through the medical system if we had the right coordination and facilities. The other problem, of course, is senior folks have a, with our high senior numbers, we need a specialist in
Jerry Psych.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put that on my list as the next. Once I get a psychiatrist, then I'll get a geriatric psychiatrist. A challenge accepted.
Those are getting old.
So just to expand on that thought a little bit, though. So you're, as you look into the future and the services that you'll be offering, you see the ability to recruit psychiatrists, the other terms that you mm-hmm. use.
Psychologists, psychiatrists.
Basically, behavioral health, mental health care providers. So you see that as a reasonable, I guess, objective based on the economy of our county, the future of the, mm-hmm. the demographics of the county.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you why. As you are well aware, hospitals are really questioning how we're going to make things work next year with additional taxes, with things that are coming up, and we're looking at all kinds of cost-cutting measures. So it may seem odd for me to say, okay, we're going to add on some people, add on some services. The thing about psychologists and psychiatrists is they will earn their keep a bazillion times over, simply because they are people who require no other people to do their jobs. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, they just come in, and we are able to charge for their services. While it may not be what we want to charge for their services, you know, it's what a payer will pay. They make up for their own salaries, and they cover their overhead. It's a break even at worst, and at best, in a lot of cases, we can make money off of them. So they're never going to be a loss for us. The catch is how to get them here. It's just, and it is not a fight. A lot of people say, oh, it's so hard to recruit here. Well, it's hard to recruit to any rural area. We have a benefit. We have a beautiful Pacific Ocean that we can, you know, highlight and recruit to. So it's no harder than any other rural area. The problem is we have a shortage of doctors across the nation. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. So that's what we're up against. But psychologists, relatively easy to recruit. I'm looking a lot more at psychiatric NPs and PAs. They're a lot easier to recruit. If we can get the same level of functionality out of them, that may be our answer. We may end up with only one psychiatrist in Samaritan psychiatrist in the county that handles just the worst of the worst. But if they can keep the worst of the worst out of the acute care system, if we can parse out the other to our advanced practice providers, those PAs and NPs, and we can work with our psychologists to maximize what they can do to work at the top of their license, we might actually eventually be able to say we're not at least drowning.
So can I give you some suggestions?
Absolutely.
You know, when I've done a lot of recruiting here now over the years and involved with things, but if you're looking for a psychiatrist that'll stay, mm-hmm. find yourself a surfer.
Exactly. Isn't that the
because
trick?
Because he can't do that in Portland. He can't do that. And there are these types of medical people that would... Mm-hmm. I know a nurse practitioner right now would like to come back here. Mm-hmm. Not because it'd be nice to have a nice facility that'll add to it, mm-hmm. but he wants to come back and serve.
And tell him we've got some job openings. We'll be happy to talk to him.
Commissioner Thompson has also made the comment that we need to be recruiting through Field & Stream magazine.
Right, right. Well, I'll tell you one thing that we are doing, and this is largely due to this lady back here, Ursula Marinelli, who is our foundation director. She has allowed us to use Casey Postlewaite, who works in our foundation office and has tons of experience with events coordination and grew up here and knows everybody here. We're using her to really tailor our recruitment events a lot more. We'll find out if someone likes to surf or likes to hike or likes to, and we will hook them up with people to do that as part of their interview now. It's a totally different way to look at how we're interviewing and really trying to sell the place a lot more than we ever did before. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty of how to personalize it and tailor make it. And then she's already also spending time with those new hires that we have to make sure that they're connected to our community, that they have all of the resources that they need, and that we're not just hiring them and going, oh good, we'll see you when we see you. So a lot of change in how we're strategizing, and really along the lines that you're talking about. So, okay.
Let me get people to stay.
Yeah, exactly. It's how to get them to come here, and then how to get them to stay, and be a part of our communities. So, just very quickly, this is aerial with Highway 101 swooping down below. You see the Center for Health Education that's right on 101 to just orient yourself, and then that's the current hospital right above that. We have a trailer in the back that we is now housing our walk-in clinic, employee health, and occupational medicine. And there you see what we're working on right now, which is that new hospital and clinics building that will connect to the end of the 88 building. So let me show you how that plays out. Just wanted to throw in here that we did some mock-ups. We were very serious about how this all laid out, so we even made total rooms out of cardboard and had people work through them. So the first floor of this new building, it's very colorful and it's actually much more detailed in our more recent drawings, but this shows you we actually have on the left side of that the surgical area, in the middle diagnostic imaging, and on the right the ER, which will be adjacent to the helicopter pad, have its own ambulance bay and entrance and exit, and we hope will be very functional for us. The front portion, the hallway that's down below, will be the public area, and the main entrance is through that wedge shape on the left side, the galleria there. The back hallway that you see running along the entire back of the building, that is behind the scenes. That is where we'll be moving people, patients, supplies, and it won't be part of what the public sees anymore. So it's a much better patient experience if you start thinking about how do we build hospitals differently today. The second floor, this will be where all the clinics will now be consolidated. So starting from the left, we'll have primary care. That is also everything from internal medicine, family medicine, walk-in clinic, pediatrics, and then we'll have obstetric services, and then we move into all of our surgical services, general surgery, urology, orthopedics, ENT, all on the right of that. We have x-ray services here, and we'll have phlebotomy, or the blood draws, come to you in your room. So again, it's about the experience the patient has and not having the patient run all over the building trying to get where they need to go. We come to them. The third floor is where we'll house all of the guests who spend the night with us. So all of our inpatient services. So that's our moderate level patients that we call the ACU, the acute care unit, and our critical care patients in the ICU, the intensive care unit. That's over on the left, and it wraps all the way around. The care area is in the middle, where all of our teams work together. And that's a very different sort of scenario as well. We never used to discuss our teams. Right, it was always the nurses station. No, this is a team station where doctors and nurses and all the support staff work together. And then on the right hand side, we have our labor and delivery with a dedicated C-section suite. So if a laboring mother needs an emergency section, it literally is just right across the hall. This is what the drawings look like now, so that's why I don't show you anything but the color. They're so detailed, and that is the third floor and how it all came together. The first floor of the 88 building is becoming what is our support services. So that's environmental services, materials, Our nutrition, our cafeteria will be there and will flow out to a garden area. The thing we're most proud of is we did put infusion down at the bottom of that drawing. That will look out over a healing garden. So our patients who have to sit there for hours and hours, you know, strapped up to an IV, will have as pleasant an experience as possible. And we have pharmacy immediately backing up behind that because those drugs are of high importance to exchange fast and well. And then we also have lab down here. Yes, sir.
So if I look at that garden area, that's on the south side of the building?
That is on the west side of the building, actually.
Well, either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried a little bit about your engineers. Are they used to designing into this weather?
They are, and we've had so many discussions about exactly what you're talking about what kinds of things might grow, because we have to have landscaping. We're required, as you know, to have landscaping and appropriate things all around the hospital. So tons of discussion about wind and weather, where, which direction it comes from, what will grow, what will not, you know, all of those things. So we're working with local landscapers, thank goodness, and having many, many discussions because, yeah, we wanted to capture the views and have all of this beautiful stuff, but sometimes the views aren't on the right side of the building for, you know, what really grows, and we're just going to work with it, and we're going to figure out, you know, the natural flora that we can, you know, put in and make work. So we'll make a beautiful healing garden, but it will be a coastal healing garden that will grow.
Something that's resistant to wind.
Yeah. Exactly. You got it. Absolutely. The second floor is much less glamorous. It'll be where administration is and conference rooms and things like that. But we will also have cardiopulmonary services, wound care, and our sleep lab will be there as well. So this is what it looks like when it's all joined up. This is superimposed over an actual drone picture. So that is a pretty accurate representation of where the streets currently exist. But you see where all the parking is now where the old hospital is. So that will all be demolished, and all of that out front will be where the old hospital stood.
Looks like the heliport was moved to the east.
It has been moved. It would now be off the drawing in an elevated pad, and this will put it in much better proximity to the hospital and the ER, which is really where we need those services. So we're super excited about that. I'm not sure our neighbors are so excited. They've made a few comments, but frankly, if you live next to a hospital, I don't know how to help that. But we're going to do as much as we can to minimize noise. We have, you know, different types of surroundings, including both plants and even how you build up the edges around your helipad to make sure that we don't blow sand or anything, and we'll do it as best it can be done.
So if they move it to the east, what I think that is,
mm-hmm.
that wind swirls around that little point that's in to the north of you.
Right.
And it's going to be a little bit tough. Are we talking to the helicopter pilots?
Absolutely. We're talking both to the helicopter pilots and the FAA. We have to get all of this approved in depth by the FAA. They have to approve approaches. They have to approve lines of clearance. They have to study all of the wind and everything. And frankly, sometimes it just might not be possible to safely get a helicopter in. And the pilots make that call every single time. If they do not feel that it's safe for them to get in or to transport a patient out, they'll call off, and we'll just have to figure out a different way to transport patients. One thing that's going to help us relieve some of this reliance on helicopters for each and every critical patient is we are instituting an inter-facility ambulance service between Samaritan hospitals. They can also go to other hospitals, but what we're most concerned about is some delays that we've experienced with our local ambulance services, and we've talked this out with them quite a bit, and we're partnering, in fact, with them to have ambulances staged at each of our hospitals and have critical care nurse on that rig as well so that we can transport patients faster to where they need to go. And our plans are to have one located in Lincoln City, one in Newport, and one in Corvallis that then shifts as we move them around. So we always have one deployed. And we hope that that will really help, you know, with patients. I mean, it's frankly about the safety of the patients and getting them to the level of care they need as fast as possible. Because frankly, we love our air ambulance partners. We know we rely on them. But frankly, in our environment, it's just not always possible to fly. And we've got to have some solutions when that's not possible.
Tops of the buildings considered?
We did not consider the top of the building because of the amount of reinforcement it would take to put it up there. I know a lot of urban areas certainly do that when you're landlocked, but we figured out a way to do it on the ground, so we didn't explore that further. And then this is what the main entrance will look like, that galleria that unites both buildings and brings both in. I think the brick facade that's on the outside of the 88 building to the left, I think the architects have done a nice job of extending that, but bringing some modern look to it. And I think that will serve us well for years and years. And the real time teller is looking at the brick that's on the 88 building as they're sort of taking it off, looking at the crust, looking underneath, and they're like, this is a pretty good brick. We can use a lot of this again. So we'll even be using a lot of the materials again from that building, what is appropriate. And then this is what the inside of the galleria will look like. Some things you'll notice, the skylight is meant to sort of represent a drop of water hitting a pool where you see the rings coming out. All of the lines are, none of them are quite straight here, and it really is done intentionally to mimic a wave or the water that we have around us. And even the colors are chosen very intentionally to make people feel that they are on the coast. There's something special here. There's something different here. So we hope that people, when they come in, they'll feel that. And then we'll tell them the story if they don't. That's supposed to be a drop of water, and that's supposed to be a wave. Okay, so here's the drone photos from a couple weeks ago now when they first started pouring the foundation footings for the new building. So the building down in the left-hand corner, that's the 88 building, and that is looking south. And so you can see how that building will actually come right up to the 88 building. And then flipping around, looking north, that's what you're seeing. And you're seeing in the very left-hand corner the tops of the current hospital, the remainder of the hospital. So we have a website, and you can actually see the building being built. I won't show you all that, but it's animated, and it's pretty cool. So if you you can go to New Hospital Newport, or I'll now take you to New Hospital Lincoln City, and you can keep up with what's going on. So again, very briefly, just to orient you, your West Devil's Lake Road is along the left-hand side, and Northeast 28th Street is along the bottom, and then you're on Devil's Lake here. And that is the current Samaritan North Lincoln Hospital, and the darker red is the hospital proper. In the lighter orange are all the surrounding buildings, and then you can see where the current helicopter pad is there, closer towards the lake. So the first rendition we came up with, we at first thought we would get rid of a lot of the outlying buildings, and we quickly determined with our budget that was not going to happen. So if we're just building the hospital, keeping all of those buildings sort of led us to put the new hospital on the eastmost side of the property overlooking the lake, because that was all that was left if we continue full operation of the hospital in the meantime, which we absolutely will do. So as we start refining that look, then we start figuring out, okay, the ED needs to be next to the helicopter pad, because we want to maintain that the current helicopter pad for all of the things we talked about. The FAA has certified this is the best location, this is the clearance, this is where we want it to be. Okay, so now everything has to fall around it. So the ED falls naturally towards the north. That puts other major areas like surgery towards the south, and then the inpatient, of course, overlooking the lake, because you want to obtain that that sort of outlook. As we start looking at expansion, which is something that we are building into this one quite knowingly, because we actually are building for our census today, which means that we will not be building a 25-bed inpatient unit. Instead, we'll have 12 beds with 4 observation beds, so a total of 16. But we do have plans, if that ends up being not enough in the future, all those dotted lines are places for expansion. And then we have a planned clinics building expansion down at the bottom in white. And then expansion zones once all of the outlying buildings are brought down, you know, in the future, 20, 30, 50 years, whatever, those will all be expansion zones as well. This was our first rendition. This looks very different because we are able on this campus to do everything on one story. And we want to if we can, right? Because we all know that in all the shows, on TV, people go to the elevator to die. You know, everything bad happens in an elevator. And while that's not true in real life, we do want to minimize the time that a patient would be away or become trapped or a mechanical problem happens. So if we don't have to build a building multi-story, we don't. In this case, we have to, you know, here in Newport. But in Lincoln City, we were able to come up with a plan to not. So again, you see the inpatient beds overlooking the what would be the lake over on the side, the ED coming into fruition up top, and the surgical area down bottom, and all support services, pharmacy, lab, etc., all in between. This is the first renderings of what we are told by the architects that the building might look like. It has encased hardware on the top, meaning all of our air handling units and everything will be inside on the roof, not outside to the elements. And then, of course, everything spreads out in one story otherwise, but with lots of opportunity for natural light and all of the things that we like to see happen. This is their first go at what the outside might look like, again, utilizing lots of local materials, stone that can be found in Oregon and cut in Oregon, brick and metals and other things. Again, trying to emphasize the local aspect of everything that we possibly can.
The metals are anything that isn't stainless steel is going to do it.
Yeah, you got it. And it's all of those same thoughts. You would love being parts of our discussion because we, you know, they bring things up and we just shake our heads and we're like, okay, let's go over again what it means to live on the coast. So by and large, they're getting it. It's very specific. A little garden area that'll actually be a outflow to the cafeteria, so you'll be able to eat outside on good days. Things like what you might see when you first come in, where you never have difficulty ever again finding where you're supposed to go, right? We will never again have winding hallways where you can just never find your way. That's part of what we're getting good at. And really celebrating the outside and bringing that inside. That's a big part of making both healthy healthcare experience for the patient and for our own employees. And again, just a reminder of the groundbreaking on September 12th at 3:30 there in the parking lot right where the hospital will be. And again, this is ceremonial because we just didn't want to bring people out in the middle of winter for the groundbreaking. So we won't start the day after with the actual digging, but...
So you're going to have pigs to break up the parking lot pavement?
You got it. No well, I actually have golden shovels, right? That's how it all works. Well, thank you so much for your time. And any other questions that you guys can think of?
If you don't mind, afterwards, I may talk to you for a couple minutes. If you got a couple minutes, I think the meeting will go fairly fast from here on.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Very good.
Okay. Any commissioner's reports?
I'll just make note that Director Andrew Phelps from the Oregon Emergency Management Department out of Salem will be here this afternoon and have a chance to chat with him briefly.
And I'll just pass on. Is there, Wayne, you have anything you want to mention?
And no, but I can tell you that actually I'm going to move the executive session to next week. We don't really need to do that today. So we can dispense with that and move to next week.
Okay. So that meeting adjourned.
No, it's constituent input.
Oh, constituent input. Any constituent input? Excuse me, I thought I knew everybody was sitting out here.
We have to, for the record, though.
Yeah. Okay, seeing no constituent input. The next meeting is on September 6th here at the Board of Commissioners room at 9:30. Meeting adjourned.